Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do on this Friday, we look ahead to the readings for this coming Sunday, which is the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 4 to 8. Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and he sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Sometimes we reach that place, don't we, when we're just so worn out and we just, in a certain sense, want to give up. But then, it says, an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. And after he ate and drank, he laid down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." The journey can feel like it's too long for all of us. I've thought that many times, which is why the program is called what it is, Food for the Journey. It's the journey to union with God. It's for each of us, every single one of us. But sometimes through that journey, oftentimes through that journey, there are things we suffer. There are ways in which we wonder, where is God and why did God allow this? If there is a God, we can be brought to extreme fear and almost a willingness to give up on God because things seem so hard. And that's a little bit where Elijah was here. He laid down, he says, "Take my life. I'm no better than my fathers." And he lay down and he fell asleep. But then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. And Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water, just what he needed. Miraculous. God often does things for us that we forget very quickly. The ways in which God provides. Sometimes they're really surprising, and sometimes it's just that we meet a friend and that friend happened to have a little extra and shared with us, and we can just so take that as natural rather than realizing that God could have prompted our friend to share whatever meal they had. There are so many ways God provides for us, the necessities he provides for us. And we can miss it so easily or take it for granted or attribute it to ourselves rather than developing an attitude of gratitude. To thank God for everything because he is the source of it all. No matter how it comes or through whom it comes, all those good things that come to us, it ultimately and firstly comes from God's own hand. So develop an attitude of gratitude. Thank him. Always turn to him. Thank the person involved that brought something to you that you really love or want. Thank that person, yes, but ultimately give gratitude to God where it belongs. After he ate and drank, he lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, ate, and drank. And then strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. Look at that. That one meal provided for him 40 days and 40 nights. God will provide. Maybe it won't be so obvious as that. Maybe it won't be so spectacular as that because God wants to increase our faith. If he just gives us these miraculous answers all the time, then we'll say, "Oh, God will take care of it. God always answers my prayer." We take away what God is really trying to show us is carry out my will and I will provide for you. And he entices us by little things to come closer to him and to cause our faith to go deeper until finally we're able to trust him. God wants that for you. He wants you to have that trust and that peace. He'll meet your deepest needs. He'll meet your most basic needs. But we need to come to him and put our trust in him and listen to his word. That's our food for the journey too, to listen to his word, because his word will not lead us astray. So may we be grateful and may we be humble by drawing close to him and asking him to guide our steps every day. The responsorial psalm from Psalm 34, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the afflicted man called out, the Lord heard him from all his distress. He saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. That means reverence. Who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. God's food is priceless. The Eucharist is priceless. We need food for the journey. It's there for us if we believe. The wine and the bread become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The food for the journey is available to us every day. Are you living a starvation diet? If you are, that can account for some of the trouble in your life. Sometimes God uses the trouble to draw us to himself. Perhaps you go to Mass regularly, frequently, but are you really present, or do you just go through the motions? Oh, I've been to Mass, check that off my list. But do you go realizing your own hunger and your own need and bringing that to the Lord and asking him to feed you? Participate in the Eucharist. Don't just be a spectator or an onlooker. Participate. This is food for the journey. His body, his blood, his word, food for the journey. Receive it. In the second reading from Ephesians 4, verse 30 to the second verse of chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you along with all malice. Ask God to help you. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. So be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love, as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. Your good deeds, your repentance, rise like sweet-smelling incense before the Lord. You honor him. Open your heart to receive him. Open your heart to be more obedient to what he asks of you. Not because he wants to confine you, not that he wants to take your pleasure away from you or joy away from you. He punishes because we make such bad choices. And we've got to accept the punishment and then ask for his help, because what he wants to give you is happiness and real joy and genuine peace, even in the midst of difficulty, because you have grown in your knowledge and your love for him. You're growing in a relationship. It gets deeper and deeper, and it sustains you in a way that nothing else can, even in difficult times. So open your heart. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. Our willingness to follow God rises like sweet-smelling incense before God. God doesn't miss an iota of what we do. And the Gospel, John 6, verses 41 to 51, the Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves." He knew what they were whispering back and forth to each other. "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." Whoever believes has eternal life. Take this to yourself. "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die." Meaning not die eternally. You're not going to die eternally if you feed on the body and blood of Christ, if you conform your life to his living word. Remember, it's living. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Brothers and sisters, how can we not pay attention? Oh, I've heard that before. Do you see what God is promising? "I will give you myself as food, that you may eat and be nourished, that you may drink, and that your thirst may be satisfied in him." This is real. And moment by moment, you can feast on his word, the living word. What more could God give of himself than to give us everything? He's sharing himself fully with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He loves us. I keep saying it, but I'm hoping that finally somebody will wake up who's listening to the program and say, "He loves me? He loves me like that?" Yes, it's you. This is not a fairy tale. This is not just a feel-good thing, because God is asking a lot of us. But what we give, God returns by giving himself, and God giving himself is far more, infinitely more, than we give him when we give him ourselves. But he looks at our heart. He knows we're little. He knows we're weak. He knows we're sinful. But when he sees that desire in us to draw close to him, when he sees in us a desire of gratitude, that we really express our gratitude, he is touched and he opens his heart to receive us. May it be so for you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.